Today's passage, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at a passage that's very familiar to a lot of us if you grew up in Sunday school. We often think of Bible stories as something, that's something for little kids. We teach little kids, and little kids learn the story, and they're all, but there's nothing important for us to grasp from it after that. So we're going to be looking at that passage. It'd be Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 35. And the same day, when eve was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves to beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, this was Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. And they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the stories within it. We just ask that at this time we would be, as we look into your word, that we would just glean from it and that we would just have our hearts open to your word. We just ask this all in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. All right, as we look at this passage, the first thing I want you guys to understand is that the passage revolves around the simple idea of faith. And we all have faith in something, whether we have faith in that vehicle when we go to turn it on in the morning, whether it turns on or not. We have faith or trust and knowledge that that vehicle will get us to church. We have faith in a pilot when he pilots the aircraft, that he's going to take us to the right destination and hopefully not crash. But we have faith in something. Even in an elevator, when you push the button, we have faith that that elevator is going to take us to that floor. So today we're going to look at faith. And obviously it's raining, been raining off and on tonight. But if we look at this passage, we see that there's a storm that comes on, and the disciples are out on the boat, and they're taking Jesus across the lake. Now, this is Lake Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. And this reminds me of something that happened to me when I was in camp. Now, I've been telling the teens about camp, and they're getting all excited about going to camp. We had the tag sale last week, and that tag sale last week, we did really well. But they were wondering, some of the teens who had never been to camp, what kind of things happen? Well, one of the things I was in camp when I was about 10 or 11 was sailing. Now, I'd never sailed before and never really been much on boats, but there was an older gentleman that was retired, and he helped out with the camp. And he taught me how to run a sailboat. It's just a little two-man sailboat. And so during that whole time when I was there, I would go out and he would point out how I would do it, and finally I was able to do it by myself. Towards the end of that week, I was able to go out in our free time and sail. So I was all the way out on the other side one afternoon during free time sailing, and I was trying to get it to go as fast as I could and try to get it to jump over the waves and do different things like that. Anything that young guys like to do, try to make it go as fast as possible, right? All along, if you guys ever been in Florida, what happens in the afternoon in the summer? Storms, right? The afternoon storms started to come. Well, the wind started to pick up, and you could see the waves started to pick up on this little lake. And I knew I had to get back to shore. Well, I had to have faith that my boat will get me back. Otherwise, I'm going to be stuck in the storm. So we all have to have faith in something, whether it be in our abilities to do things or whether we have a vehicle or any other kind of thing. We have faith in something. But what happens when storms come up in our lives? What happens when we have job losses, or we get fired from an occupation, or we get laid off, or health issues? The terrible cancer comes, or we're no longer able to do something because we have these physical ailments. And then with these trials, we often hear, the old Christian saying is, just have faith in God, everything will work out. But what does that mean to us? What does it mean to have faith? Who do we have faith in? For Christians, our faith is the focus of the gospel. And we always tell people, have faith in Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you of your sins. But do we have faith in God in our day-to-day life? Christians will face storms of all kinds. If you live this life long enough, you're going to face all kinds of different storms. And we must have faith in Christ in order that peace reigns in our hearts. We're going to look at this passage here, and this is such a simple passage, but Christ hits the point, where is your faith? Because in the middle of this storm, you have Jesus. Where is Jesus? He's in the boat, asleep, at peace. All right? And no matter all the storms that in our life that are going on, we can have peace in God. It's by the faith in God that one is able to have peace in the midst of all the storms that are around us. So how can you have faith and peace in our current storms of our lives? We're going to look at three actions today on how we can strengthen our faith and actually have peace in our lives, no matter the life difficulties that may come, no matter the storms of our lives, no matter how things can happen. We're going to look at three different things that we can find in this passage and a couple other different places. The very first thing I want us to see is we have faith in a work and presence in Jesus Christ. All right, you look at the disciples, they're in this boat and they're in the middle of the storm. And who's in the boat with them? It's Jesus, right? So who better in the middle of a storm to have right next to you, right? All right, Jesus Christ, the Creator. Now, these guys had seen all the miracles he had done. They saw the water turned into wine. They saw lepers be healed. They saw all these different things, and yet here they are in the middle of this storm, and what is their response? They go up to Jesus, and they say, verse 38 at the very bottom, it says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? It's like, Jesus, don't you care? Sometimes we have that attitude where we just go to God and say, hey, we have all these things going on in our lives down here, God. Don't you care about us? And we might think that's a valid way to express things. Or maybe it's just that we just aren't having faith in what God is doing in our lives. The disciples had Jesus right there with them. So in our own lives, who do we have with us always? We have Jesus Christ with us. He's the Creator. I want us to turn over to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at a passage from Romans. This is Paul, and he's talking about this faith. Now, we're going to look and we're going to see that you're justified by faith that we have. And when we have faith in Christ for our salvation, it brings forth peace. So looking here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, our first starting point is always Jesus Christ. We can try to have faith in all these different things, and we have all these storms that will be coming into our lives. But if we aren't starting at the very, very focal point of our faith, which is Jesus Christ, then all these other things we're going to discuss, they're not going to make much of a difference. Our starting point is what Jesus Christ has done for us. We're justified through his work. All right? So we can have peace because of our faith, our peace with God. We've been, that war that was before between us and God is now no longer. We have this peace. If you look at verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, our salvation can't be lost. We're secure in Christ. And because we're secure in Christ, we are able to glorify God with our abilities. We're able to minister and do things. So all the things that happen in our lives, ultimately, it's for the glory of God. Here's something else here. We just talked about how the disciples had Jesus right there in the boat. Jump down to verse 5 here in this passage. Verse 5 says, and the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, sometimes we think we're all alone in this world. We have all these storms in life, and we forget that we've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of God constantly with us. Just like the disciples, they had Jesus right there in the boat. There he was. And what's our first inclination? We try to do everything by ourselves first. You have to remember, four of the disciples that we know of, at least, were fishermen. These were seamen. They knew this boat through and through. This was their own boat. they knew how to sail. So they try to do everything. They're sloshing the water out, all right, in the middle of this great storm. Yet, it's not till the very last where they think all hope is lost that they go to Jesus and say, "Why don't you care about us?" Well, that's kind of backwards in some ways. Maybe they should have started with him. But we should realize that God is always with us. We always have his presence. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." And this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonians, and he says, the Lord be with you all. That means he's present with you all, and the Holy Ghost is present in our lives. So when we look at our lives and all the things that are going on, we must realize that we have the Holy Ghost. He's present with us. Before my grandmother passed, about a little over 2 years ago, she suffered a series of strokes. And as many of you know, strokes tend to disable the body, especially in communication, because it's very difficult. And while she started to do therapy, she had progressive strokes. So she progressively got worse until the point where she passed away. But just prior to that, my uncle came to visit her. Now, my grandmother was a godly woman. And she often prayed for us, all of her grandkids, all 43 of us. So, well, she had seven boys and a girl. So, you know, a lot of kids. So she prayed for us individually. But my uncle said she knew her time was coming. She was about to pass. And there was this peace on her face. Why? She had the Holy Ghost with her, and she knew. She couldn't verbally speak it as best as I am now to you. But that's what she voiced, that she was going to see the Lord. She had peace in that. So all the difficulties, even in the most difficult situation, death, we can have peace. Why? Because we have the presence of God with us always. Believers oftentimes forget that we're redeemed. We forget that God is with us. But we have a peace if we just tap into that thing. That salvation, remember that redemption that we have, that God is with us always, even into death. The next thing I want us to look at is the authority that Jesus Christ demonstrates here on the water. If you flip back to your passage in Mark, and just hold your finger in Romans, because we're going to go back and forth in Romans. It's one little Romans passage here. We have hope in Jesus Christ because of the authority he has. If we look at verse 39, Jesus is able to control the weather. All right? You got to understand that this is the Creator God. And verse 39 says, "And he rose, he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still." We have to understand that we serve a God that is the Creator of the world. He spoke it into existence. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Jesus was at the beginning. He's the Creator. This little storm in our lives, just as disciples, this storm is nothing. He spoke into creation the world. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And the storm ceased. When storms and difficulties arise, you can trust that Jesus is more than capable of handling those difficulties. He can control the weather. He created you. Why can't he? Doesn't he have the authority? Doesn't he have the power? The physical things are one aspect, but I want you also to look at something else here. In verse 40, see, we get caught up all over in the physical things. Here is what Jesus is focused. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" It's a hard issue. See, they were all concerned about this physical storm that was going on. And just like in our lives, we get concerned about all the things that are going on in our lives. But where's our faith? Where are we supposed to be trusting? Are we so focused on everything going on, all the troubles, those jobs, the work we have to do, the marriage issues we might have, our problems with school and education, our bills, all these different little storms, these little things? Are we placing our faith in Christ? Because that's where peace is. Our peace isn't in our job security, in that nice house, or in that nice car that we have in the parking lot. It's our peace is in Jesus Christ. So all those physical things we can get focused on, but we need to focus on our faith. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through" who? Jesus Christ. That's who. See, we can look at all these things, all the storms, all the things that will come into our lives, but we have to rely on Jesus Christ. He's the one that brings peace. That's where our faith is. It starts with Jesus Christ. God might also not calm the storm, all right? Obviously, we need to understand that. While he has the ability and the power to calm the storm, sometimes he allows things to happen, tribulations and trials, for his glory. Flip back over to your passage in Romans. Romans chapter 5, you should have, if you had your finger there. Verse 3. And it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." God allowed the storm to come upon the disciples, just like tribulations and trials and storms in our own lives are going to come. And sometimes we can go before the Father and we say, "Lord, if you would, please remove the storm." And sometimes he removes it. There's other times he allows us to go through that storm, but he gives us the patience and the ability to go through it. An example of this would be sometimes the storms just come on suddenly, and sometimes we have to deal with those difficulties in those storms. When I was in flight school in Virginia, I was learning to fly, and after you get to a point, you don't fly with an instructor anymore, and it gets really scary because you go out by yourself. So I did a few solo flights by myself, and so I was going out to the practice area. I went out to the practice area, practiced some emergencies, up and downs. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen some of those little planes that fly around. You're like, what are those guys doing? There's probably somebody out there practicing, because you have to do that regularly. So we went out there, did some practicing, and it was a clear sky. But as the evening was coming on, there was this haze. So I was starting to lose visual, and as you're a student pilot, you can't really be out there by yourself, and when it because you're learning how to fly all visually. So I went back to the airport, and I started practicing some landings. So I would go in, I'd land the airplane, I would come to a stop. All right, everything was going fine. So I did about three of those, and on my third takeoff, as I was taking off, all of a sudden there was this flash of light, and then lightning. I was like, oh, no, not right now. There was nothing a minute ago. What's going on? And over the radio, the controllers go, "Yeah, I think there's a thunderstorm approaching from the backside of the airport." And if you ever really take a look at what an airplane is, and I worked on airplanes for 5 years in the military, you realize that it's really just a giant aluminum can with an engine on it, all right? And when you're in the middle of the sky, lightning seems to be attracted to aluminum and any kind of metal that's out there. And when you're flying, you're kind of the highest thing in all around the area. So I was a little concerned. Now, they build planes to be able to take strikes from lightning. But still, you don't want to get struck by lightning. So I was taking off, and as I was taking off, I turn around, and I look back, and lo and behold, that storm was moving fast. I mean, really fast. It came up over the mountains in Lynchburg, and it was coming directly towards the airport. And I was like, I got to get down. And immediately, I was getting nervous because the wind was changing. Just, you know, how you know storms. You can tell when the weather's changing. That wind starts to pick up. And so as the storm was picking up and I was getting closer, I realized at the very front end where I was supposed to come in and land, the storm had already started. And it was lightning and it was raining. And this was not a pretty sight. It had hail with it as well. So I radioed the controller. I was like, can I cut in and make a short landing? And they granted it to me. So I cut in and tried to land as fast as I could. But that storm was faster than me. And so, lo and behold, I was still about 300 feet off the ground, and I was trying to come in and land that aircraft, and that storm caught up with me. And that wind, I knew as soon as it caught, that wind started to blow from behind me. And if you know how to, if you ever flown an aircraft, you try to land into the wind. Here I'm trying to land with the wind to my back. And it was raining really bad. And I lost visual. All I could see was blurs. And I was like, oh. And all along, I'm thinking and praying, God, allow me to land this aircraft safely as possible. Now, I wasn't worried about my own personal self because I had peace. I was trusting in God. And, of course, obviously, at that point, I was like, Lord, if there's any sins, I'm really sorry. Of course, you know, you think those things. He's like, I don't think I've done anything wrong, but if I have, Lord, forgive me, you know. But I was about to land an aircraft, and I knew that I wasn't able to. I was a student pilot. How in the world am I supposed to land with this big gusting storm? Well, God gave me the strength. I landed that aircraft. It was a little hard. Have you ever landed really hard? It was hard, but that rain, it shook the plane. As soon as I got on the ground, I realized how bad that thunderstorm was. My aircraft was about ready to flip. It was really bad. It also came with hail, which is not really a good thing for airplanes either. So, but God gave me the peace in the midst of that storm. He didn't take it away, but he allows us to have patience, the ability to go through the tribulations. And ultimately, it's for the glory of God. It's not for anything that we've done. It's for his glory. So for believers, storms will come in our lives. Hey, storms came for the disciples. Storms are going to come in your life. But are you relying on Jesus? Do you think he's able and he's capable to handle it? Yes, he's able and capable to handle it. You can have faith that God will work through your situation, no matter the trial and difficulty. He will assist you. He's with you. He's present with you. And the last thing we're going to talk about is the storms, how they can be distracting. All right? The storms can come in life, and what happens if I was flying that plane and I started focusing on that storm? Oh, this is a scary storm. What am I going to do? You lose track of what you're doing with that aircraft. It's just like in our lives. We'll have storms. There'll be health problems. When health problems come, you know, cancer, and you have to go to chemo and do all that kind of things. I've watched my grandparents go through it. It's not a pretty sight. But during those difficulties, he'll give you strength. And we need to just be focused on what needs to get done. So in life's difficulties, we need to keep our focus and obey Christ. All right? We have faith in him. We just need to obey him. I want you to look back in Mark. We're going to flip back into Mark here, chapter 4. Now, at the very beginning, before this storm came, Jesus was preaching. At the beginning of the chapter, verse 7, Jesus is giving the parable of the sower. Now, with sowing and with seed, the example here is what you do with the seed. Now, individuals are displayed at hard ground, good ground, and then you have thorns and thistles. All right, so you have these different kinds of people. And what do they do with the ground? All right, the ground demonstrates the individuals. And what the seed is Christ, his word, his commandments. So you have the good ground, which accepts it and grows. And what happens? It makes good fruit. Verse 7, we're going to look at and see what happens with someone that takes the seed, but allows all the things in this life, in this world, to change him. Verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. You see, sometimes when we look at all the things that are going on, all of our lives, all our concerns, all our worldly possessions, and we get all concerned and concerned about it right here and all the storms of our life, and we don't focus on Christ, and we actually accept and obey his word, are we going to produce any fruit? No, we're not going to produce any fruit. We can't glorify God if we're all focused on our storms. It's the same thing with the disciples. If we look farther down in the passage, in verse 35, in the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. The disciples had one task. Their only focus was to do one thing. And they started to do it. It was to take Jesus in a boat and take him to the other side. Really simple. All right? But here comes the storm, and the storm comes in, and they lose their focus. They're focused no longer on trying to get to the other side. They're focused on the storm, and they're worried about their lives and worried about all these different things. We have to not focus on the storm. No matter the difficulties that come in our lives, we must focus on what the Master has commanded us to do. 1 Peter. Let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see this passage Peter is writing here, and he's speaking, and he wants people to understand something. This is just as an opening. Chapter 1, verse 2. Says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. All right, in this opening we see Peter, and he's talking about obedience. Now, remember when I talked about back at the beginning, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ, all right? He mentions the sprinkling of the blood. We're relying on the blood of Christ. All right, that's what where our faith is. But we have to have obedience. We can't have peace without obedience. You can try and rely on something, but if you don't go through the process of doing things correctly, it's not going to work. Like if you go out to your car and you hop in and you're like, I have faith that this car is going to work. We're going to go somewhere today. But if you don't stick your key in the ignition and turn it on, you're not going to get very far. Right? It's the same thing. You have to have obedience. You have to follow through. And we see the same thing here. God knows what's going to happen in our lives. He knows that we're going to experience difficulties, but we have to obey them. Flip over to Philippians chapter 4. I mentioned this verse earlier on. We're going to take a look at the previous verse. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. See, once we obey God, part of that whole process is turning everything over. Just like when I was in that airplane, I was like, all right, Lord, help me. It's the same thing. We turn over our problems. It doesn't matter the difficulty. It says all things with prayer and supplication. So that means we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, we have these issues. Help us. If you can remove it, remove it. We will be very thankful for it. But even in these difficulties, in these storms, what are we to do? We're to be thankful. That's really difficult. If you're in the middle of a storm like the disciples, you can remember the disciples are in the middle of a storm and they're so scared because they're sitting there bailing out the water inside their boat. Their whole focus is on that thing. How can you be thankful for that situation, right? We're about to die. I think I better bail us out here, you know. You're not thinking about being thankful. Thank you, Lord, I'm bailing out the boat. Well, you know, oftentimes in our own problems, in our own life situations, we don't think about all the things that we can be thankful for. We get all concerned about what's going on. So we need to take it to the Lord. Leave it at the Lord. Why? Because He's giving us peace. Peace is coming from Him. So when we lay all our burdens, all our cares on Jesus Christ, what does that give us? It's peace. It's not that we stop bailing out the boat, but He gives us the ability to overcome our situations. So in trials and difficulties, you can obey Jesus Christ because of the work He has done for us. And it's not through anything that we can do. It's through His own strength. So we often look at this child story. We look here at Mark. And we say, it's just a simple child story. And look at those silly disciples. They didn't have faith, you know? All those bad disciples. When we shouldn't look at it that way and realize that we are just like the disciples and we are worthy of hearing, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? We are just like them. We deserve rebuke from Jesus. Do we have faith? Are we putting our faith in Jesus Christ? Or are we just trying to do everything on our own? So, we're going to go over this three things that can help strengthen your faith and give you peace. The first thing is we need to realize the work of Jesus Christ is what we rely on. And not only that, He's present with us. We have the Creator with us. The Holy Spirit, if you are saved and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and you have placed your faith in Him, you have something amazing. We oftentimes just say, yeah, I'm saved, you know, born again, I'm a Christian, you know, move along. All right? No. We're saved. We have a right relationship with God. It's no longer any time to realize it, but now it's that peace. We have been made peace with God. So, not only that, he's with us. So, we have our faith and reliance on the work of Jesus Christ and his presence. He's always with us. The second thing, we need to realize that Jesus Christ is the creator. He's in control of all things, right? It's not anything that we can do. Is he not capable of creating the earth? Is he not right here, calm the storm? We need to marvel. If you look at 41, verse 41, it says, "And they feared exceedingly and said unto one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We'll read it again. "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The sea and the wind obey Jesus Christ. He's spoken to exist in our life. Who better than to rely on? Who better to put faith? You have faith in a truck, your car. Are they going to fail you? Eventually they're going to fall apart. But we're talking about the Creator. We're talking about God. Who better to trust than him? Matthew says they marveled. We should marvel at Jesus Christ. The last thing we should do is we need to learn to see all the storms for what they are. It's just storms. And we need to place our trust in Jesus Christ, our faith in him, by obeying him. I don't know if you guys remember the little child song that said, "Obedience is the very best way to show you who believe. Blah, 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 blah." I can't remember all the words. But you know how it goes. Obedience, right? What better way to demonstrate that we have trust in Jesus Christ? By our obedience. There's no better way than our obedience. We can get distracted by all these things. We can get confused, and I don't know what to do in my work. My employer tells me to cheat the company, to write the wrong numbers down. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to follow him, his example. Obey him. Integrity, honesty. This is kind of the thought line here. So in all things, we're to obey him. No matter all the storms and difficulties in our lives, it's quite simple when we can just obey him. It's through Jesus Christ that we have peace. But if we must have faith in him, you can't have peace any other way. If you're not relying on Jesus Christ, you can't have true peace. So I invite those that don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today's the day. You need to know him. You can't have peace. The storms in this life will continue. You won't have any peace. It must be based on Jesus Christ. Back to our number one point. You must have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you do, trust in him. You have great joy. We're going to talk about this later tonight with Paul. The joy that he has in all these trials and tribulations. The guy got beaten, stoned, almost dead, and he was in prison in Rome, chained to a Roman guard. What better way to have joy and peace in prison, right? But he did. Hey, no matter our situation, no matter our storms, we can have peace. So that is our prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time, for your word, and this Bible story that sometimes we just overlook. We're just so thankful that you left it for us so that we can learn your word and just learn to have faith in you so that we can have peace. We are so thankful that you're God, that you are the Creator. We should stand and marvel in amazement at who you are. We just are so thankful for who you are and how you continue to work in our lives. We just pray your blessing on this time as we sing praises to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.